I couldn't stop if I wanted to. A 9-to-5 is something that I don't wanna do. Sit in the cubicle miserable as I slave away, getting complacent with life as my dreams fade away. Nah, motivation to go harder. I'd rather spit that real shit, I'd probably die martyr. They wanna ride the wave, I hope you got your surfboard, cause it's a high tide though, we try and ball like the Carters.
Good morning, good evening, good night, folks. This is your 5 Tool Sports Podcast host, Woody Massey, and I'm here with two of the tools today. We got CSPN McLaughlin. It's going to be on the next Donda Cut.
Hell yeah, let's go. I'm over here doing a fist pump. I know they can't see, but, you know, I'm hype.
Nasty Snape Parker.
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
What's going on, bud?
Hey, man. Celebrate another day.
Yeah. Another day to be alive. Let's jump right into it. We got some games covered. We're not going to hit all of them today, guys. We're picking out the best betting spreads and the best games of the weekend. And for the first one, one that I'm really interested in seeing, that's going to be the Saints at the Panthers. And they have Carolina getting 3 points in this. That's how much they respect the Drew Breesless Saints. I mean, after last week, I get it. Like, the Saints just destroyed the NFC finalists, Green Bay Packers, last year. What do you guys think about this game? And then what do you think about the spread, the Panthers getting 3 points here? I think this game is going to be closer, a lot closer than the last week. I think last week they caught them off guard.
I think Sammy D throws digits. Multiple picks.
I can see that. I mean, he's going to be running for his life. It's not like Carolina's offensive line is top shelf. And I can tell you that the Saints D-line is very, very nice.
Look, the spread is what it is because they're traveling to Carolina, right? It's a home It's a home game for Carolina. So on the surface, it looks a bit odd. But then when you dig, you know, I can understand it a bit. The over-under is 44.5. That feels a bit high just because Carolina's defense may actually be a pretty solid defense. I don't think they're good enough to win this game. But they look pretty right. But then also you got to see results, right? And that defense looked good last week versus the Jets. They forced some turnovers and whatnot. So I could see the 3.5 spread, but look, I think the Saints are just better than Carolina. I think Carolina, they're not there yet. And yeah.
I saw some things I liked from Carolina last week. I saw some things I didn't like. Sam Darnold looked a lot better in the second half than he did the first half. Looked like the team's getting their legs underneath him. Christian McCaffrey, we were wondering what he was going to look like coming off that injury. No wear and tear. He got plenty of touches. I think he was around like 30-something touches. Yeah. On Sunday, 25 carries, had another like 9 receptions. Looked back to his old self. So we're going to see them pounding the rock with McCaffrey. White chocolate. And DJ Moore looked great too. But Carolina's defensive line looked just as good as it did last year, even after losing Trey Hendrickson.
Yeah, so. It did. I'm going to say Saints 24-17.
Saints 24-17. I think it's going to be like Saints 24-21. I think this is going to be a very close game. And the only reason is because I love Jameis. I think Jameis will just shine here. It's with New Orleans. Yeah. I've been preaching this for a whole year. You put a guy like Jameis, who loves taking deep shots, with a smart coach like Sean Payton that can scheme dudes open and build up that deep shot for him. Not just like Arians, who just constantly wants to take deep shots. He's going to have a hell of a year, man. It's going to be crazy.
This is my problem, Woody, is your boy, Aaron Rodgers, couldn't lead his offense to a touchdown last week versus the Saints. And now you think your boy, Sammy D, is going to put up 21 on this Saints defense?
It was Christian McCaffrey.
He had Christian McCaffrey last week, and he scored 19.
Jets defense is sneaky. They're not as bad as everyone thinks that they are. Towards the second half last year, they played a lot better.
Yeah.
But no, I get the logic you're saying. You're looking for consistency here. But it's one thing that you're also sleeping on, see, it's an interdivision game. These teams know each other. So they know shots that they can take, but they can't. Like, bro, this is second time Brady's seeing them, or a third time that Brady's seeing them now after last year. So you know he's probably got some stuff schemed up.
Yeah, I say 24-17. You say 24-21. You like Sammy D more than I do. I'm kind of putting it on that. You giving, you know, Carolina extra 4 points because Sammy D, your boy, and I'm not a believer in Sammy D, so 17 it is.
All right, fair enough. I think this is a good betting game, but not like a great game to watch, because I think what we saw from Cincinnati last week, if their offense can click, Cincinnati versus Chicago, the spread is Cincinnati's getting 2.5 points against Chicago.
Yeah, I would throw it on Cincy.
Look what they did last week with Minnesota. They dropped 27 like the second half.
I like the Bengals over the Bears here, but I don't think it's not a game I would feel confident picking either. No, yeah, Chicago's at home. Cincy's still a young team. You still got a young quarterback. You still got young receivers back there. I know we might be a little down on that Chicago defense after seeing how they performed versus the Rams last week, but they're still a good defense until we see multiple games of, you know, lackluster defense, in my opinion. So that's why I'm a little torn here. Cincy, at the same time, they have a good run D. Chicago has success running the ball, but we don't know what Matt Nagy's going to do. I mean, I would stay away from betting from this game personally. But
yeah,
from the analysis side, I do have the Bengals winning this game. The Bengals beat the Vikes last week, and I think the Vikes are better than the Bears. So.
Well, it's flat out. When the better team gets points, I love that. Like, you know what I mean? I think that the better team's getting points here overall. So
I feel that.
Cleveland Browns versus Houston Texans. I'm not touching that spread. -12.5. Not after the way Tyrod Taylor looked last week, but we're not even waste time on that game. Rams Colts. That's going to be a good game. I like this game. Carson Wentz, I feel like Carson Wentz got a little rough start last week just because, you know, Seattle's defense looked better, but it ain't going to get better against the Rams. You have to deal with some Aaron Donald. But I feel like they'll be in a bit more of a game flow now. Like, they didn't get a lot of reps during the season. I think this game is going to be sneaky closer than people think it is. And yeah. I think Vegas thinks the same thing because the Rams are only favored by 3.5.
Yeah, this is a pretty good spread here. I think it's going to be a close game. I have the Rams in this one. It's kind of back and forth because the Colts, they are playing at home. LA do have to travel from, you know, one time zone across to two other time zones. So, yep.
And the key here, tough. We saw David Montgomery last week. He shredded the Rams defense. The young Jonathan Taylor, he's put up 200-yard games at the end of last year. Like, this could be a game where Jonathan Taylor's first big game of the season. We could see it right here.
It could. Look, the Colts' offensive line, which is regarded as one of the best, and it has been one of the best the last couple of years, they didn't play well last week. So that's a matchup you really want to look at. Look at the Colts' offensive line versus the Rams' defensive line. I think both units were actually underwhelming in week one, you know, but it's early in the season. We're going to get all kinds of football. And then after a few weeks, we'll really be able to see, you know, who's really about that life.
I agree. So spread wise, who are you taking here? Just if you had to lean to a side, I have it at 3.5. So it's not that field goal game. I'm going to take the Rams to cover here, but I don't feel great about it. I'd probably stay away from this game.
I think I like the Rams to cover.
Yeah.
Over-under's pretty high, too. But, you know, I could kind of get with that after seeing Andy go against a high-powered offense last week, and they didn't fare so well. So they're going against a high-powered offense this week. I don't think they're fared too well this week either, and I think it's going to be a fairly high-scoring game.
Nate, who do you like on the spread here?
I take the Rams. I take the Rams
minus
to cover.
Minus 3.5?
Yeah, I take the Rams to cover, and I think I'd take the under for if we were betting that line as well.
All right. Broncos, Jaguars. I mean, there's no reason to talk about this game. Plus 6. I wouldn't bet it just because, you know, Urban doesn't run with any logic. So you don't know how this game's going to go so far.
You don't. You have no clue.
Yeah. Here's a great game. Miami Dolphins versus Buffalo Bills. Miami's getting 3.5 points here. Obviously, we saw Buffalo last week stutter against possibly the best defense in the league, Pittsburgh Steelers. Does Buffalo bounce back hard here? Or could we see Buffalo climbing out of an 0-2 hole?
I think Buffalo's going to be climbing out of an 0-2 hole. I know. I know Nate disagrees. This is my upset of the week. I think it's a trap game. Buffalo, they're traveling down to Miami. Look, when Tom Brady was the guy in New England, he struggled. His New England team struggled to go down to South Beach and win at times, especially early in the season when that heat is pumping, that humidity is pumping. So this right here, this is my upset of the week.
Upset of the week. I like it. Hot takes coming in. So you see Tua having success against this Bills defense?
Yeah, I mean, I don't – yeah.
Man, he didn't look – that quote from the Patriots cornerback really has me rethinking. And I saw another stat. Someone who did some digging about Tua when he doesn't go after his first read, when he doesn't throw out his first read, which he has a high completion percentage on his first read, like 69%. But when he doesn't go after his first read, it's like 11%.
Ooh, yeah, that is nasty. Look, Tua just beat a good defense in week one.
True. He did, barely.
Hey, a win is a win. And whose defense is better? Or do you project to be better, New England's or Buffalo's? I'm going to go with New England.
I go around the same. I picked New England situationally better because of coaching. But
Bill B, exactly.
Yeah. No, I see what logic you're getting at there. So spread-wise, though, with the minus 3.5 to Buffalo, so you think Miami obviously covers?
Yep.
All right. I think Buffalo's going to win this, and I think it's going to be like a nice bounce-back game. And I think Josh Allen's going to go crazy here. And I'm going to say they cover the 3.5. So we'll recoup next week. Now, you got anything, your boy Josh Allen? Think he covers here?
I think Josh Allen and the Bills are going to rally and dumpster the Dolphins.
Okay.
Are they going to cover? I think it's
how bad are they going to beat them?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm thinking like
35-10. Wow. That is a brutal beating. That's a call. We'll see. CJ's writing that down. All right, this game, it's not going to be like the greatest game like showman-wise, but there's a lot of history here. New York Jets versus New England Patriots. They have the Jets at plus 6 to New England. New England didn't look the greatest last week, didn't look the worst. Do you see there being closer than you think? Battle of two rookie quarterbacks?
Who's this?
Jets in New England.
Jets are
plus 6.
That's a lot.
That is a lot.
I think the Patriots cover.
You think so? Yeah, it just comes down to coaching there, right? But Salah is a different coach.
Yeah, it's a lot of variables. You know, it's coaching. I give that to New England. Just coaching and schematics. But then also just like the big brother, little brother variable. I don't think we're past that.
I think
that
it's still alive and well. Yeah.
It's alive. And even though Brady isn't there anymore, I still feel like the Jets are like the little brother in that division. Right? The Buffalo Bills, who we just, you know, talked about, they're like the brother that hit the growth spurt and is like, whoa, homie, like 6'6", 210 now. Like, whoa. But the Jets, they're still the runt of the division. And I think the Patriots will treat him as such.
No, I feel that. You feel New England covers here. -6. So they'd have to get a full touchdown. Yes.
Yep. And look, I think the Patriots defense may have a defensive touchdown, maybe a special teams touchdown somewhere in there. I don't necessarily think that offense is going to, like, you know, blow the doors off. But, I think it'll be good complementary football.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Let's look at the 49ers and Eagles. I think this, personally, the Eagles are getting points here. I'm not sure after what we saw last week what this 49ers team is, honestly. Like, it seemed like a little bit of a fluke, but my counter to that is Philadelphia runs very similar type of offense to where they struggled with things last week with Detroit. Like, they're going to dish the ball off to the running backs a lot. They're going to run some bubble screens. They're going to take advantage of that aggressive pass rush. And they have a quarterback that's not Jared Goff that could actually get away from the pass rush a little bit. Could we see the Eagles sneaky get a dub here? Especially, and here's my thing that I want to talk about, Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan, I really am he's one of the best offensive minds ever in the NFL. But is he ruining youngins? Is he ruining young players? Look what he did to Dante Pettis, not investing any type of confidence in him after he had a great rookie year. Then we saw him pretty much drop off the face of the planet. Now we're seeing Trey Sermon, who he traded up to get, put into street clothes. Now we're seeing Brandon Ayuk, who's not getting any reps as wide receiver. Like, I'm just saying, this man looked like a Pro Bowler last season.
Stop it. We're not there at practice. We're not there in the meetings. We're not there in the locker room. That's really all I got to say about it. We don't know. Yeah, cool. Dante Pettis looked good. The track record of what? Of going to Super Bowls and blowing leads?
No, just going and harping on youngins until they crack.
Shanahan wins. The NFL just, it's not both. Like, if you want to be soft, if you want to quote-unquote crack, then that's on you. That's not on Kyle Shanahan. His job is to get these guys ready to win. And Kyle Shanahan wins, so I can't question whether he's putting the right guys on the field. He's obviously putting the right guys on the field. This game here, I don't think Philly is a good team. I like Nick Sirianni.
I don't think they're great either. I don't necessarily think San Fran is either, though.
Nick Sirianni has a bit of an edge to him, and I've noticed that. I do like that about him, but again, I don't think this is a good team. And here's an opportunity for him to change my mind. I don't necessarily think San Fran has put it all together yet, but, look, they dominated the Lions, and I get it. The Lions, they dominated the team they were supposed to dominate for three quarters.
Yeah, and I was going to say three quarters.
They did lose
Jason Verrett, so remember, they don't have a cornerback.
I wouldn't be too alarmed here, man. I think the Niners cover. I think they went by a touchdown or more, at least.
Okay. I'm actually going to say Philly sneaks this one here. At the +3, they at least cover. They at least cover. Okay. I could be eating my words on that one, so write that one down. Not confident, but I'm feeling it. So our next game that we'd want to look at would be... You interested in Pittsburgh, Las Vegas? I think Pittsburgh crushes.
I actually think
that Las Vegas is getting 5.5 points.
Oh, well, if that's the man, I don't know. I think it's going to be an ugly game. I don't like the over-under here. I think it's too high. I think both teams, both quarterbacks struggle with the opposing pass rush. I'm going Steelers here, but I'm somewhere torn between it's a sloppy game and they win by 10, or it's, you know, I'm going to say the Steelers don't cover.
I don't think the Steelers cover, but I do think they get the dub here. So,
yeah,
but I'm staying away from it because you never know with Derek Carr against a defense like that. Like, you could easily, like, Minka could take two back easily.
Yep. Yeah, Mink is going to be all over Darren Waller. I'm sure that's going to be his assignment.
That's his specialty. Sunday, so. And take away Darren Waller from Derek Carr, that could be a problem.
Be a problem.
The guy to watch, though, maybe just a little fantasy nugget here. If they're going to take away Darren Waller, the guy he was looking for first downs was Bryan Edwards. So little nugget there. If they're going to take away Darren Waller, he might have a big game.
And then also, it's also important to note, Josh Jacobs is on the injury report, you know, as of yesterday. So he's questionable for Sunday. Obviously, everyone saw him Monday night with the toe, ankle, whatever's going on there. And then he played Monday, so it's a short week. So that's something to really pay attention to as well.
And how is Kenyon Drake going to go against a very physical defense like Pittsburgh? That's a speed back. They got a lot of speed on the outside. May neutralize him, too, if he has to fill in. Cardinals, Vikings. I'd like to see how the what I'm most interested in this game, how good does Arizona's defense look? Does it look the same as last week, or was this Tennessee like we thought? Like an issue in Tennessee?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I think that the Arizona – I personally think Arizona is going to win this game. And because Kyler Murray, I think he's in the zone. He looked amazing last week. And I think that he actually has real deal target, like, got weapons now. Because the craziest part was the thing that you, like you said, with Christian Kirk, they drafted Rondell Moore, who plays similarly the same position of him. So Christian Kirk, he's got a ball out. We saw it last week. And we saw Murray look for him last year. So if he emerges as a real deep threat to stretch this field, that's going to open the middle of the field for Rondell Moore and DeAndre Hopkins immensely. If we can take the safeties off the top. Like that, they're going to be throwing the ball all season long.
What I'm really looking at here, the Cardinals defense played a great week one. You know, you pretty much shut down A.J. Brown, Derrick Henry, Julio, Tannehill. And they've invested a lot into that defense, getting J.J. Watt, drafting Zaven Collins, Isaiah Simmons the year before. So I'm interested to see that unit versus, let's be honest, a pretty good offensive unit for the Vikings. You got two weapons on the outside, Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson, and then you got to stop Dalvin Cook in the backfield. So I want to see if this Cardinals defense step up like it did last week. And then what it really comes down to is I'm not sure if Captain Kirk can outdoor Kyler, as you kind of alluded to. So I'm going Cardinals here.
All right.
And I think they beat them by, you know, a touchdown.
Yeah. And they're going to cover it. No, I agree there. Tampa, Atlanta, Falcons, we know how that's going to go. No reason to go near that. Seattle, Seahawks, the Tennessee Titans. This could be an interesting game. Tennessee needing to bounce back, at least show some fight after last week. Seattle's favored by 5.5. And I see Russ just dropping bombs on this defense. This secondary in Tennessee is atrocious. Another 4-touchdown game I'm predicting for Russ. He just kept coming off of one last week.
Tennessee looked bad last week. Seattle's playing at home. Seattle looked good. Seattle defense got pressure on Carson Wentz. He did. Made that Indianapolis Colts offensive line, which we talked about not too long ago, which is regarded as one of the best. They made it look pretty bad. And now you're going against the Titans team that looked bad in week one. Offensive line looked terrible. Taylor Lewan looked awful. I got Seattle here, and I'd say Bob out a touchdown.
Yep, I agree. I think Seattle's – obviously Derrick Henry's a wild card here. Can he get it going against this Seattle defense? They're not the best against the run, but they're also not the worst, like middle-of-the-pack team here. That's going to be the X factor. What is Derrick Henry doing in this game? Because Derrick Henry is the only player on the Tennessee Titans that can keep their worst part of their team off the field, which is their defense. So they're going to need Derrick Henry to strengthen the drives. And if he can't do that, then they're just going to be in trouble all year long.
But look, Todd Downing in Tennessee, he's the OC there. Underwhelming week one. And look, you got to commit to the run. You have to commit to the run. So to your point, Woody, if they come out and they commit to the run, they'll have a greater chance to win. But if we're just basing off what we saw last week, Todd Downing, if they stuff the run early, it's going to be a long day for Ryan Tannehill and that Tennessee offense.
I agree 100%. Now, this is one of my games of the week right here. L.A. Chargers, Dallas Cowboys. I've been looking forward to this game. You nervous? Yeah. You a little nervous for this one? Los Angeles looked really good last week. Really good against that Washington football team defense.
Yeah, the offensive line looked good. The defense didn't look bad, but I wouldn't say Washington football team have, one of the top offenses. So the Chargers defense will be tested this coming weekend. The Cowboys, they have a few things going on the offensive line. So, you got to give the Chargers the advantage there. And then just, with the whole Lyle Collins being suspended, DeMarcus Lawrence went down with a broken foot. Michael Gallup is out 3 to 5 weeks with a calf strain. So it's an uphill battle here for Dallas. And they're traveling to Los Angeles to face the Chargers. I'm still going Cowboys. Cowboys. Yeah, I'm actually surprised that I thought this line would actually be closer to even. Did anyone see Cowboys week one performance? I mean, they lost, but damn, yeah. The defense forced four turnovers in exactly. The offense.
Dak
Prescott looked incredible. So I'm going Cowboys here.
The one thing I was incredibly impressed with the Chargers week one was rookie Rashawn Slater. He straight up shut out Chase Young to the point where they moved him to the other side of the line.
Yeah.
They moved him away from the rookie. This kid, was he better than Penei Sewell? Everyone knocked him because he's a little undersized, but sometimes the undersized guy's got the most fight.
Hey, look, I've always said it. I've always said that if I'm drafting an offensive lineman early, I want him from the Big Ten. And yeah. Rashawn Slater, he's a Big Ten guy. He played at Northwestern, if I'm not mistaken. Northwestern is a big academic school, so he's a smart guy. He probably was the best offensive lineman drafted.
Well, goddamn, the Chargers needed it, man. Like, holy crap. I'm glad that he's on there. But we'll see. This is going to be interesting. The thing that another interesting matchup of this game is the Chargers were number one against allowing wide receivers yardage last year. They shut out wide receivers very well. They run a very tight zone defense. And obviously, Dallas's biggest strength is their pair of wide receivers, CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper.
Also, I'm glad you brought that up. This year, the Chargers are starting or playing a rookie corner a good bit, Asante Samuel Jr., and he did get toasted a little bit last week. I did see some stuff on tape where
I hope he's covering CD then, because I got CD in my fantasy. Is he their number two corner right now?
He's either the number two or he's either the nickel, but he's out there. He's getting a lot of playing time.
I'm taking the Chargers in this one over the spread. Disrespect your team.
That's fine. So what, you think Chargers by a touchdown or so?
Chargers by a touchdown.
Dallas, they're comfortable out there in L.A. That's how they train.
It's not that far.
So, I mean,
I'm just saying, you got to show support. You're looking for consistency.
I understand.
Yeah. Okay, so the last one, Baltimore KC. Now, Baltimore, there's already a narrative of this game. The media's been trying to get in Lamar's face, get in his head. You never beaten Patrick, never beaten Mahomes. Mahomes is your daddy, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Young Mahomes comes out and says, it's not about me and Patrick this game. It's about getting us right on track. Saw smoothing out what's been going on, losing all these players and getting this back to a winning football team. That being said, they still have to beat Patrick Mahomes, and I don't see it happening after what they did with the Raiders.
Look, I think it is about Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson, because generally, whichever quarterback plays the best, wins the game. Teams wins. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So,
and now they don't have Marcus Peters on the other side, so you got a hole with the corners. Although Tavon Young is no slouch, he had an interception last week. He's a good young corner.
Yeah, this is. I'm actually so surprised the spread is. I mean, look, I got the Chiefs by a touchdown.
I got the Chiefs by like 10 points.
Yeah,
I think, bro. I don't think it's going
to
be close.
I was trying to be nice.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be close here. I think Baltimore drops 0-2 and then starts to figure this stuff out. To have to face a team like Kansas City's pedigree, going through all this, trying to find a running back, like that's how do you beat KC? Keep the ball out of Patrick Mahomes' hands. How do you do that? Run the ball. You lost your two running backs.
Yeah, like I'm not watching Lamar Monday night versus the Raiders. I wasn't impressed with him as a passer. I don't think he's really improved that much. And then that offensive line is worse. Ronnie Stanley looked terrible. Oh boy, they signed from Pittsburgh. He looked terrible. Mm-hmm. And one thing I noticed when I was watching the Kansas City Cleveland game in week one is Kansas City, they move Chris Jones around, or at least they did week one. I know last year they and in past years they would move him around a bit, but in week one I saw them move him around a lot. And especially on pass rush situations, I saw him playing a lot of defensive end on pass rush situations. And with that being said, the Ravens offensive line just looking bad on the outside at the tackle spots. I think it'll be a pretty bad game.
Yeah, I think it's going to get a little sloppy, for sure. Especially on Baltimore's side of the ball. But I mean, Baltimore's defense is still no slouch. Like, they're going to take shots at Mahomes, try to get to him. Because that's how you beat this team. So, we'll see.
I trust John. I trust John to get that defense together, if it's not already together, if it's at least midway through the season. Because that's who John Harbaugh is. But, hey, Woody, that defense gave up, what, 34 points?
Yep. But, you know, at the same time, Las Vegas is that they dropped 50 on KC. You know what I mean?
Like, nah, I mean, that's – I feel you. I think that
you Marcus just never Peters, know with that offense. That's all.
I think Marcus Peters going down is a huge loss, because Wink Martindale – the defensive coordinator for Baltimore, he really likes to bring pressure. He likes to man up on the back end, get in your face. And now you don't have Marcus Peters there. I'm a little concerned. I don't know what their adjustments are going to be. Maybe they'll be a bit more conservative, maybe more bend but don't break type of defense. Or maybe he just continues to blitz. You know, that defense is predicated on getting sacks, getting pressures, forcing turnovers, and I'm interested to see how Martindale plays it. But however he plays it, they don't stand a chance in hell.
I agree. Green Bay Packers versus Detroit Lions. This is our final game of the week. This is Monday Night Football. Obviously, there's history here, individual matchup. Green Bay needs this as a bounce back. And I believe Vegas views them as getting that bounce back, because they are favored by 11 points here after Detroit came back on the 49ers last year. And this is predicated on Aaron Rodgers has made the Lions his little lion cub, like his whole entire career. He has just destroyed the Lions. So what do we see Aaron drop back here? I mean, we know our friend Brandon Lumber, he said that teams just don't fix a bad camp in 2 weeks. He's not going to return to MVP form. I think if anyone could do it, it'd be Aaron Rodgers against the Lions. But you tell me, what do you think?
I think the Green Bay Packers will get the win here. I think they'll cover the spread. But I think Brandon's right. I think even if Aaron Rodgers has a pretty good game, I don't think we can sit here and say, okay, they're back. The Lions are just a bad team. Like going to Green Bay, you know how Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay, how they play at home. So, yeah, I could see 31-10, you know.
Yeah, no, I could see that too. I think Green Bay hits back hard here. I think Aaron gets his feet underneath him again. And, you know.
The Lions' defense is terrible. Like, the Lions' defense really bad. Is awful.
It's really bad. Yeah.
It's real bad.
Like, yeah, I don't think you need to be, like, fully there to be great for Aaron Rodgers.
Exactly. You know? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Exactly.
And I feel like we're giving Jared Goff a lot of credit because he put up numbers last week. But they weren't, like, if you watch the game and the game flow, like, he still didn't look great. He still looked like Jared Goff.
Look, San Francisco put it in cruise control. Like, yep. And look, I'm not saying it's necessarily a good thing. I don't want to take any credit away from the Lions.
Kyle Shanahan special.
Exactly. There you go.
That's the Lions are a bad team. Yeah, they're a bad team. They might have the worst record in the league.
It's not too many teams that I've already decided are bad teams already, and we're just in week two. But I've Philly, Atlanta, and Green, and Detroit, I've already decided bad teams.
Oh, okay. I like it. I like it a lot.
Those three teams will be picking in the top five in the 2022 NFL draft.
Hell yeah. All right, guys. Well, that's our Thursday football preview. Well, that's for the weekend. Come check this out. And we're talking betting now because, you know, we want to make some money this year. And we want you to make it, too. So please come check it out. And as always, check out our online at the number5toolsportspodcast.com and Football Scout 365, Brandon Lumberg. And for me, Nate, CJ, and Brandon, see you next week. We out.
My mama says you know that I ain't living right. I'd rather chase my dreams than live with regrets. Sometimes I think I let my demons get the best, but God be watching me with every step. So many nights, man, I was stressing and finessing, had to